Welcome. First of all, welcome. This is Unsolicited Perspectives. I'm Bruce Anthony, your host here to lead the conversation in important events and topics that are shaping today's society. Join the conversation by following us wherever you get your audio podcasts. Subscribe to our YouTube channel to watch our video podcast. Rate, review, like, comment, share. Share with your friends, share with your family, hell, even share with your enemies. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about housing discrimination, a heartwarming story where a family helps another family, and then we're going to get into some more funny memes. But that's enough of the intro. Let's get to the show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get back to doing an interview starting next week. I know we took a little pause during Black History Month, and there was some mix-up between travel, so you guys get an extra sibling happy hour, and then I have some things I got to get off my chest. But we will begin back next week with the interviews. I got a lot of interviews that have already in the can. Some really interesting people, filmmakers, writers, directors, sociologists, psychologists. We're going to be talking about a variety of different things that I think are informative and engaging. So look out for those interviews that are coming. But I'm choosing this show. This show is going to have a trajectory. I'm choosing violence in the beginning, and the show is going to get lighter and lighter and lighter as we go along. But I'm choosing violence in the beginning, and I'm doing my own show because there are some things that agitated me recently, and I want to address them. And since this is my show, I could choose when and what I want to address something. So here we go. All right. So the first thing is Tim Allen. I know what you're thinking. What's wrong with Tim Allen? You know, the actor that did Home Improvement and is the voice of Buzz Lightyear. Well, he's got a new show coming out on ABC. It's going to be a new sitcom called Shifting Gears. The whole premise is that he's an old restorative car shop person, and his estranged daughter is moving in with him and her family. We've seen this kind of premise before. It's nothing new. That's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about Tim Allen specifically and the multitude of chances that he's been given, despite the fact that y'all might not realize he's not that great of a person. So what do I mean by that? He's faced accusations of racism due to past comments. In an old interview in the Tampa Bay Times in 2013, he defended his use of the N-word. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. He defended his use of the N-word. He repeatedly used the N-word in this interview with the Tampa Bay Times in 2013, arguing that he shows no intent to be racist while using this word. So therefore, there shouldn't be any backlash against him. He's just saying the word. Now, okay, you cannot say that word if you are a white person and it not be racist. I don't know how clearer I can be about that word and white people using it. From the beginning of that word being used by white people, it was to describe something in negative terms. It is offensive, when white people use that word. I don't give white people a pass to use the N-word. And I know what some of you guys out there are going to say, well, black people use it. Yes, we can. You can't. There are words that certain groups can use that other groups can't use. There are derogatory terms for Spanish people. They call themselves that. I can't call them that. There are derogatory terms for Italian people. They can call themselves that. I can't call them that. There are derogatory terms for Jewish people. They can call themselves that. I can't call them that. Derogatory terms for the LGBTQ plus community. They can call themselves that. I can't call them that. When they call themselves that, or when we call ourselves that, it is not used as a derogatory term like when it's used by another group of people. So clear. There is a clear line. There is never a time, unless you're acting in a movie. And even if you're acting in a movie, guess what? That term is used derogatory. So there is never a time in a person's public life, a white person's public life, that they could ever use the N-word where it will ever be acceptable. Ever. Okay, so Tim Allen is defending himself, saying that it shouldn't be seen as bad coming from him. I don't know why he thinks he got this pass. Like, I don't know what Tim Allen thought that he got the pass to the cookout. Tim Allen ain't never been a person in the black community that was just like, yeah, he gets a pass. And for those people who don't understand that, sometimes in the black community, certain white people are invited to the cookout. That means that it is, we are bringing you in, you understand our culture, we respect you for using aspects of our culture in not a derogatory way, and we tip our hat to you. Certain singers, Michael McDonald, Old Blue Eyes Soul, he's invited to the cookout. Eminem is invited to the cookout. That's just a few. I can't think of anybody else off the top of my head, but there's a few people. In fact, in the matter is sometimes black people, this is a message that goes out to y'all. We invite too many people to the cookout. The cookout is our thing. Not everybody gets invited to the cookout just because they do one thing exceptionally well. All right, that's neither here nor there. But I'm not done with Tim Allen yet. So he had some awkward interviews discussing black culture after he made an appearance on SNL doing a skit. A lot of y'all have seen it, Black Jeopardy. If you haven't seen the Black Jeopardy skit on SNL, it's very funny. It's basically Jeopardy with black pop culture and history. And they typically, Tom Hanks has got a really funny segment of Black Jeopardy on SNL. But Tim Allen did this. And, you know, it was funny, right? But then he started making awkward interviews after that, talking about black culture, going back to his excuse for being able to use the N-word, saying that it shouldn't be seen bad coming from him, implying that he is cool with the black community. But yet during these interviews, and you can see them online, during these interviews, he knows nothing about black culture. He didn't even know about spades. Spades is a card game that is very popular in the black community. He had no idea about it. And as the interviewer was explaining to him what spades was, he made awkward comments and things of that nature. And he's just real awkward. Now, a lot of people are asking themselves out there as I'm talking about this, why are you bringing it up? What's the big deal that Tim Allen might be a racist? Definitely has some bigotry in his system. What is the big deal? He got a new sitcom. Well, it just so happens that the sitcom is on ABC, right? ABC is owned by Disney, or Disney and ABC are connected. I forget which owns which. I think Disney owns ABC and ESPN and I think CNN. I think they own all of that. Okay. Disney has created some cartoon movies. And when I went down the list, I had a friend tell me that they are not associating themselves with Disney anymore because there was a gay kiss scene in one of the animation movies. And there's all this gay stuff in the movies. And I said, no, I don't believe that's the case. I believe that there's one kiss scene in a movie and they advertise it ahead of time. It wasn't a surprise. They let you know that this was happening. So if that's something that's offensive to you, you don't have to take your kids to see the movie. Well, I just don't think they should be making kids see that. Well, once again, they let you know ahead of time. And if you don't want your kids to see that movie, you don't have to take them to go see that movie. It's pretty clear. And it is not some huge push by Disney to put gay characters all throughout their movies. It's been like, as far as gay characters, maybe three movies, four over the last 10 years, one kissing. And they're doing that because there are kids out there that have either two mommies or two daddies. So there's representation for all. Disney has always tried to do representation for all. People get agitated when they try to do representation for all, like the backlash of the Little Mermaid being cast as black, I don't understand why that was a big deal, but I do understand why that was a big deal, because you just, you don't want representation. The people that argue against that don't want representation. Okay. So if there's so much backlash from certain people, from certain groups, okay, certain organizations about gay characters or LGBTQ plus representation in Disney movies or Disney products, why is there no backlash that there is somebody who has, at the very least, racist actions in their background getting a television show? There's no pushback on that. Matter of fact, it's been swept under the rug. How many of the people out there have known this? And he's done more Disney movies, right? He's voiced Buzz Lightyear several times over several movies. And didn't he get his own movie, his own Buzz Lightyear movie? Right? No backlash, no pushback. So what you're saying is, you don't mind racism, but you're bothered by the LGBTQ plus community. So discrimination is okay with you as long as it's discriminating against certain people. Okay. All right. If that's how you want to choose to live your life, go for it. I think that's hypocrisy at its finest. And for those people that have those type of stance on that, or are unwilling to listen to reason, how I just painted it out to you, and are going to stand on their square saying, no, it's not the same thing, I really can't have a conversation with you. Good luck to you in your life. We don't need to be associated with each other. And I don't turn my back on people that I disagree with. I can disagree with you. I can respectfully disagree with you. But when you can't listen to logic, when you have no explanation to explain your stance logically, and you're still going to stand on your square defending your stance, I don't have the time or the patience for you. Now, you might be saying to yourself, Bruce, this is really throwing a lot of shade at Tim Allen. You know, so he said the N-word. What's the big deal? First of all, that in and of itself is a big deal. But also, we've seen this before, right? So let's talk about his political views. Tim Allen has described himself as a fiscally conservative person. He has stated in interviews that he leans left on some issues and right on others, but overall, he leans more towards the right. There's nothing wrong with that. People, they're conservative people. I'm going to attack his left on some issues because a lot of people love to use this argument. I'm going to attack it, but just a moment. I want to get more into a little bit about his political views. He's also clarified that while he is a conservative, he did not vote for Donald Trump. Okay, well, I guess you don't support all racists. His political views have been reflected in his work because he did a sitcom called Last Man Standing, where that character was an outspoken conservative character. So just to be clear, he says the N-word feels like he should get a pass because he's not saying it in a negative means when there's malice when you say that word regardless. Okay, all right. So that defeats the whole point. And that because it shouldn't be saying bad because it's coming from him, like all of a sudden he's got this cosign from Black people, which he does not have. He has a history of being awkward when talking about Black culture, which, I mean, if you don't understand Black culture, it could be awkward. I'm willing to kind of give him a pass on that if he hadn't said the N-word. Being conservative doesn't necessarily mean that you're a racist. I know a lot of conservative people that I don't consider to be racist. Bigoted, maybe, but not necessarily racist. But everybody has some bigotry in it, whether they want to admit it or not. Even I do. I try to fight it. Every now and then it comes out and I have to self-check myself. And if it's ever brought to my attention that I am being bigoted, I don't deny it. I embrace what somebody else is saying. I take it in and I try to learn from that. But let's just say that there are a lot of conservatives out there that are not the greatest supporters of minorities in this country. That's about him. And I've already gone into that about him, and I'm done talking about him. I just find it really fascinating that people find it so egregious that Disney wants to have fair representation for all people, even people that identify in the LGBTQ plus community. But these people don't have a problem with racists or people who have exhibited forms of racism or racist tones to continuously keep getting jobs with that very same company. Okay. He said something when he describes himself politically as somebody who's fiscally conservative and social liberal. He said some social issues, but I'm going to attack not him. I'm talking to a larger point, to those people who say they are fiscally conservative and socially liberal. Okay. Fiscal conservatism is explaining that fiscal conservatives believe in the reduction of government spending, lower taxes, reducing the debt, and promoting free market capitalism. They argue that smaller government with fewer regulations allow businesses to thrive and drives economic growth. That's what fiscal conservatism is. Social liberalism is social liberals advocate for social justice, human rights, and equality. They believe in using government intervention to address social inequities. All right. How can you address social inequities? One of the ways that you can address social inequities is by funding social programs to try to create equity, right? Equality is creating laws, right? Equality is Black people can now sit in lunch counters and drink from water fountains. Equity is something different. That is people truly, truly having a fair balance in life. If there is a fence and I'm standing next to a person and that fence is 6 foot, I can see over that fence because I'm 6'4". Somebody who is 5'5" can't see over that fence. So how to make things equal or equitable? We give them something to stand on so that they can see over the fence just like I can, right? So in order for that to happen, you must invest in social programs. How to help the education gap? By investing in programs like Head Start and pre-K learning for underprivileged communities, which means you have to spend money to be able to do that. You can't say that you're fiscally conservative when you want smaller government and less spending and say you're socially liberal because that means government intervention and more spending. I've attacked so many people that have tried to say that they are fiscally conservative and socially liberal. You're not socially liberal. What you are is you believe that there should be equality. You believe that everybody should have a fair chance, but you're unwilling to invest in the programs that allow you to do that. Stop saying you're fiscally conservative and socially liberal. You're not. Say that you are a hypocrite, because that's essentially what it is, because there are two ideologies that go against one another. You can't believe in both of them. It's like saying that you believe in democracy and communism. You can't. Well, I guess it's more like believing in communism. It's like saying you believe in fascism and communism. Democracy, I guess you could have democracy and communism, socialism, because we obviously have socialist programs in our democracy. So say fascism and communism. And this is another thing. This is just a side tangent. And then I'm off the subject completely. And then we'll move on to the next segment where we're talking about housing discrimination and not what you might think. But yeah, I just want to say that for those people out there that feel like there should be less government, in some ways, I believe you. I don't want the government in our hands on everything. However, sometimes things can't be a state right. sometimes the federal government has to say, no, this is the way it's going to be for all states. And I'll explain in the next segment why that is the case. But some states shouldn't have the power to dictate certain issues because states fail to represent the people. The federal government is supposed to, all government is supposed to represent the people, but states fail to represent the people. And I can't stress it enough that you can't be fiscally conservative and you can't be social liberal. And on another note, for you idiots out there, there is a difference between socialism, fascism. Socialism and communism, socialism is a part of communism. So you can equate those two. For those people out there who used to call Obama a socialist, communist, fascist, yeah, you people are idiots. You absolutely don't know what you're talking about. Google what the definition of socialism, communism, and fascism is, and you'll realize just how idiotic that statement is. But that's enough of my violence. Well, I'm going to temper down my violence as I discuss housing discrimination next. Hey there, podcast listeners. It's Bruce Anthony here, and welcome to another episode of Unsolicited Perspectives. Today, I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind lately, the importance of staying hydrated and taking care of ourselves. Whether it's prioritizing our health and wellness, or gearing up for festival seasons, or just gearing up for whatever season or time of year, there's one brand that's been my go-to for all things hydration, Liquid IV. Speaking of health and wellness, let's dive into how Liquid IV can fuel your well-being. Imagine starting your day off right, feeling refreshed and energized. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier is the missing piece in your daily routine. With just one stick, you get 5 essential vitamins and 2 times faster hydration than water alone. It's perfect for those early mornings, pre-workout boosts, moments when you're just feeling run down, or even after a late night or long flights. I absolutely love how convenient Liquid IV is. The packaging makes it easy to bring with me wherever I go. And let me tell you, it's become vital daily part of my routine. The flavors, let me tell you something, they're incredible. From refreshing sea berry and strawberry lemonade to classics like lemon lime and watermelon, there's a flavor for every preference. It's like a burst of hydration with a hint of deliciousness. Picture this. One stick of Liquid IV mixed in 16 ounces of water, hydrating you 2 times faster and more efficient than water alone. And with 12 mouth-watering flavors, you'll never get bored with your hydration routine. Plus, Liquid IV is packed with 5 essential vitamins, B3, B5, B6, B12, and of course, vitamin C. It's also made with premium ingredients, non-GMO, free of gluten, dairy, and soy. This is hydration at its finest. But it doesn't stop there. Liquid IV believes that access to clean and abundant water is the foundation of a healthier world. That's why they partner with leading organizations, finding innovative solutions to help communities protect both their water and their futures. It's incredible to know that Liquid IV has already donated over 39 million servings in 50 plus countries around the world. They truly walk the talk. Get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code unsolicited at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code unsolicited at liquidiv.com. Remember, folks, taking care of ourselves should always be a priority. So why wait? Head over to liquidiv.com, pick your favorite flavors, and experience hydration like never before. Stay refreshed, stay hydrated, and keep rocking those unsolicited perspectives. All right. I read an interesting article in the Associated Press. And the article states that the Kentucky GOP lawmakers override governor and undo efforts to prevent renter discrimination. What does that mean? Okay, so there was a new law that was written in Kentucky that was vetoed and then overridden. So a new law has passed in Kentucky that would affect renters who use federal housing vouchers, which are like coupons from the government to help people pay for rent. This is for, you know, low-income people, people with disabilities, veterans, things of that nature, okay? So the law would affect these people. They overrode the governor's veto of this law. The law was passed, even though the governor of Kentucky, Andy Beshear, didn't agree with it and tried to stop it. But the lawmakers of Kentucky, who are mostly from the Republican Party, decided to go ahead with the law anyway, and they overrode his veto. So he tried to stop it. They overrode it. It's now law. Here's the governor's concern. The governor Beshear was worried about this law because he thought it took away local control over housing issues. He also pointed out the law also says local governments can't stop landlords from refusing to rent to people who use federal assistance, vouchers, Section 8, to pay rent, which would be a discrimination against federal assistance user. The laws will allow landlords to refuse to rent to people who use Section 8. This would affect veterans, people with disability, the elderly, and low income, who often rely on these programs. So there's a typical push of certain think tanks and right-wing conservative institutions push this idea of welfare being a bad thing. Now, why don't people just pull up their bootstraps and do it themselves? Well, you have several factors of reasons of why people can't just pull up their bootstraps. Martin Luther King, and I'm paraphrasing his quote, once said, "It is very tough for a person to pull up their bootstraps when they have no boots." So that, once again, going back to the previous segment, the federal government is there to help people. So in one way is that they help people with disabilities, low income, elderly, and veterans. Let's make it clear. This also helps veterans. You know, the people that go and fight for your freedoms, they help people pay for housing. Section 8. It's a part of a welfare system. And a lot of people push this idea that it's just black and brown people, it's just poor people wanting to pull themselves by the bootstraps. And like I said, it's very tough to pull yourself up by the bootstraps when you have no boots, right? So this law basically will allow people who rent out their houses, rent out their apartments, to refuse people that get Section 8, that get these vouchers. I feel like this is a federal discrimination that the state can't do, and there might be a lawsuit, and it might work its way up to through the courts, because this will absolutely lead to discrimination. Because a lot of people that have welfare, okay, this is a poor analogy, but I'm going to try and get the audience out there, the people that's watching and listening, to think of it in these terms. I live in the Washington, D.C. area. There is a lot of homeless, unhoused in this area. People walk every day right past these people as if they're invisible. And if you ever talk to an unhoused person, they'll say, "We feel invisible until we are being harassed for being where we are and who we are." Okay? Most people walk past them, don't give them a second thought. A lot of people, and I've known some people, will look negatively, look down upon them. I know one person once said that this unhoused person came to them in New York City and asked them for some money to grab some cocoa or something like that because it was a cold day. And she said, "Why don't you go get a job?" That's when I realized me and this person were never going to be friends. Actually, they were a client, and I shortly but surely fired them afterwards because they were just a really horrible person. But there are a lot of people out there that look at homeless like that. Here's where the poor analogy comes in. But an analogy that maybe you can understand. A lot of times people who are on welfare that are in these Section 8 houses are looked at negatively as dirty or poor. They are poor, but they're not dirty. I know people. My family was on welfare. My parents were on welfare in the beginning when I came into this world, right? Now they got plenty of money, but they needed welfare to help them. Sometimes people need help. Nobody says anything about all the help that people received during the Great Depression. People were out there struggling, and there were food kitchens and there were housing situations to help people through the rough time. Why is it that the people, the so-called greatest generation that went through that Great Depression, aren't looked at negatively for getting handouts? Rightfully so, because they're going through a tough time. But poor people now getting handouts is looked at negatively. So this law being passed in Kentucky is going to open up the door for landlords to say, you know what? I don't want your type of people in my place. Before, that was discriminatory. You could not do that. Now you can. And what's going to happen is there are going to be a lot of people who are disabled, who are people of color, who are elderly, who are veterans, that are going to be denied housing. The governor also doesn't like the removal of local control. So the law will remove local control over housing issues. This means that local governments can't stop landlords from refusing to rent to people who use federal assistance. So there will be no safeguards. There will be no checks and balances. Landlords will be able to pick and choose who they want to live in their place. Not the best person, just not necessarily the best person, just the person that they would prefer to rent to. This can potentially increase the housing crisis that already exists, because critics of the law have expressed concerns that it could worsen the housing crisis that's in Kentucky, because they have a really bad housing crisis. If landlords refuse to rent to people who are using federal assistance, because these individuals may struggle to find other forms of affordable housing. And they are in, this is happening in two of the most populated cities in Kentucky, Louisville and Lexington. For example, Louisville and Lexington had ordinances that banned landlords from refusing to rent to someone just because they wanted to use a Section 8 voucher or receive other types of government assistance. This law will now take that away in two of the major areas. And so to not just be a person that's one side, I'm going to give you the other point of view. People who support this say that the people who support this law, like Republican Rep. Ryan Dotson, said that the law was meant to protect landlords' rights to do what they want with their property. They argued that the law wasn't discriminatory. Hold on. I'm going to combat that argument. To do what they want with their property? In what way? If you are allowed, if you open up your property to be rented to the public, you should not be allowed to discriminate against anybody for any particular reasons. Right? If you say, this is the rent, everybody is willing to pay that rent, they can pay the rent, you shouldn't be able to discriminate who can live in your place and who cannot live in your place based off of what factors? Personal factors? This is not a situation where you're giving property owners their rights in order, like, for instance, they can build a basement, or they can change the doors, or they can put whatever windows up. That's not what this is talking about. This is saying I can pick and choose who I want to live in my house, which in some regards, I completely understand. But if you open the rental process up to people, to the public, and you don't say, yeah, you know, I'm going to rent this to a family member or whatever. If you open it up to the people, if you put it in the classifieds, right? Or I don't even think that tells you how old I am. Nobody uses classifieds anymore. But if you put it up on rent.com, right? And it's open to the public, as long as they pass the financial qualifications that is needed to rent the place, what problem is there? And of course, they're going to pass the financial qualifications. It's government-funded housing. It's a voucher. They're going to always have that money. Hell, that's even more secure than a person that could lose their job at any time. You know that it's government backed. Okay, so I refute that argument. It's an asinine argument. That's just my personal opinion. If other people out there disagree with that personal opinion, please, please put it in the comments. I know you will anyway. So yeah, this is, it's going to lead to a bigger housing crisis in this area. But lawmakers who are supporting this law, like Republican Senator Stephen West, blame the housing crisis on inflation. And this was caused by federal policies. This is his argument. Don't get me wrong. Inflation is a thing. These housing prices and rent is too damn high. I don't really think that's because of federal policies. It's not. And these laws that they're passing in Kentucky is only going to lead to a bigger housing crisis. Okay. That's what you want to do. This is another instance in which conservatives, once again, a reduction in government, a reduction in government spending, free market capitalism takes out the little man. Once again, you cannot pull yourself up by the bootstraps if you have no boots. All right, I've chosen violence for the majority of the show. Let's get into something that's happy and light. This was a story that was on ABC News. It was written by Linda Lynn Gigsby. And the title of the article is "A Black Couple Rented to a Chinese American Family Who Nobody Would. Now They're Donating $5 Million to the Black Community." So the Thompsons and the Dong, this is a story about the Thompsons and the Stong and the Dongs. The story begins with two families, the Thompsons, a black family, and the Thompsons. So, you know, they was probably the black family, because if it's, I'm saying it's a black family and Chinese family, and I say Thompsons and Dongs, I mean, you know which names are attached to which family. Anyway, so the Thompsons, the black couple, and the Dongs, a Chinese American family. And this was about 85 years ago when the Dongs were struggling to find a place to live due to racial discrimination. The Thompsons were the only ones that rented out their house and their property to the Dongs. So you had the Dongs coming to this country 85 years ago. So that puts them in what, the 40s? So after World War II? Probably around after World War II, close to around that time. So there was housing discrimination. When I talk about housing discrimination from the past, don't get me wrong. The majority of what I'm talking about is housing discrimination against black people. But there were other groups that were absolutely had housing discrimination against. Asian Americans coming to this country, we're only allowed to live in certain neighborhoods. That's the reason why you see a lot of Asian Americans that have stores in black neighborhoods, because originally the black neighborhoods were the only places that they were really truly allowed to live. Italian Americans and Irish, when they first got here, were restricted to live in certain areas. It wasn't as overt as law specifically stating. It was just, we're not going to allow you to live here. The housing racial discrimination has always been a thing. But here was an example, and the kindness of black people. You know, it goes back to when after World War II, Jewish people that were coming to this country, you know, weren't allowed to work at the prestigious universities. The educators, Jewish educators, weren't allowed to work at the prestigious universities. Black people and HBCUs opened up their doors to Jewish Americans. This is another example of a black family saying, this is just a family trying to get up on their feet. We're going to rent them this property. And the Dongs were able to raise generations, first being able to rent this property, and then the Thompsons eventually let them buy the property. So, you know, back then, like I said, there was laws that allowed people to refuse to rent houses to people of certain races. So the Dongs just had a really hard time, and the Thompsons, you know, opened up their doors to them, allowed them to rent their property in Coronado, California. And this had a lasting impact on the Dongs. So much so that when they, like I said, the Thompsons sold, rented them this property and eventually sold them this property. When the Dongs sold the property recently, they sold the property and they got a lot of money back for that. And so what they decided to do was take $5 million from that sale to help Black college students as kind of a payback to the Black family, the only Black family, the Thompsons, that gave them an opportunity. So they're paying it forward. And when I read this article, and like I said, this is an article from NBC News. It's written by Linda Lynn Gingsby. That's G-R-I-G-S-B-Y. Once again, the title of the article is Black Couple Rented to a Chinese American Family When Nobody Would. Now they're donating $5 million to the Black community. Go ahead and read this. It swelled my heart because, as I told you at the top of the show, I was choosing violence because, you know, there's a lot of times where people are just shitting on other people. And very rarely do you see true acts of kindness. And the Thompsons, by renting and then selling their property to the Dongs, allowed the Dongs to raise generations and get the opportunity in this country to progress to the point that they could pay it forward and help out the Black community, because the future generations of the Dongs, from the original Dongs that rented this property 85 years ago, realize that they wouldn't be where they are right now without the help of this Black couple, the Thompsons. And I'm telling you, just, we need more acts of kindness like this. I have a person in my life that's a friend that loves to talk about how much they donate. And they donate to the nuns, and they donate to certain causes. But then they argue. And they say, well, I don't like the fact that I have to pay so much in taxes. And I said, well, you know, taxes are, you know, help fund people and the government and help this whole machine called America move. Well, I just wish I could decide where my tax dollars were being spent. And I was like, well, I mean, if you did, you would let your biases determine who got what. And she was just like, yeah, but I feel like I should. And I was like, well, if everybody did that, then there would be a lot of people that would be left out. And the government's job is to protect all people, not just the ones that you deem are important to be protected. So yeah, no, that was a very heartwarming article. It swelled my heart with love and joy, because we know that there was some riff. Me and my sister did an episode last year, some riff of in the Black and Asian communities. And I really feel like people just don't understand the history of Black and Asian people in this country and how together they were and how much minorities would help one another. And I want, and there's a reason why, and I say it all the time, why I'm such an advocate for the LGBTQ plus community. I'm not a member of this community, but that doesn't mean that I can't be a supporter of this community. And the reason why I am a supporter of this community, because I myself am a minority, and I am a historian, and I understand that progress is only achieved when minorities are not fighting amongst themselves, but are fighting with each other to help better this country. And this was just a dope article about how two families, one family helping another, and now that family helping several other families. Acts of kindness, that's important. What's up next? No acts of kindness, just acts of my perverted, raucous humor. We're going to take another trip down behind the memes in the next segment. All right, I chose violence and a heartwarming story, so let's try to do some laughs. Now, I was not happy about how the first time this segment was ever done on the last episode. I felt like I didn't plan it out right. I didn't have the memes presented for you guys in the video format. So now each time I read one of these memes in the video format, once again, subscribe to our YouTube page at youtube.com/@unsolicitedperspectives. You'll be able to see the visual meme and hear me talking about it, so you get a little bit more of an idea of my humor. And some of these memes are going to be funny to you. Some of them are not. They're a hit or miss to a lot of people. They're all funny to me. But my humor is hit or miss. I have this quirky type of humor and a very detailed. There are broad things and general things that are extremely funny to me. And then I can see small details of stuff that are really funny. It could be a smirk. It could be a look. These things can just be funny to me when I'm watching TV or if I'm scrolling the internet. So I've got 5 memes that I'm going to read to you. And if this is the video version, that you're going to see them pop up on the side. And this is just to get a laugh because, like I said, I chose violence at the beginning of the episode, and I'm not trying to be angry all episode. I wasn't really angry. Anger isn't the right word. I was miffed. So let's not be miffed anymore. Let's be happy and laugh. All right, the very first meme. And I felt this because I have a lot of platonic female. I have more platonic female friends than I have male friends. I just now realized that the other day. I have a lot of platonic female friends. Some of them are just a collection of friends that I've just had for 25 years and just we've stayed friends and strictly platonic. Never done anything with any of them. So I hear a lot of their stories of dating life. And I tell you, hey, fellas, we be slacking on a lot of stuff. I've improved my dating life and improved who I am as a person because of all of my female friends. So when I read this meme, when I saw this meme, it hit close to home. Here's the meme. When I hear the stuff women go through with other dudes, you can't tell me I'm not a catch. And I feel that deep in my soul because let me tell you something. These dudes out here be really trifling. And I don't do it well. I don't do any of that stuff anymore. In my 20s, yeah, I was real trifling. And there are some women out there that will say, you know, I had a crush on you and we went on like 2 dates. And it was like, you know, I had a crush on you. I was like, you should have told me. You just didn't seem interested. And I was like, well, I'm always kind of aloof. That's just my personality. But I don't be doing the stuff these guys be out there doing. So you can't tell me. You can't tell me with the stuff these dudes out there are doing that I'm not a 100% catch. So I just found that funny. All right, here's the second one. Brain cells die. Skin cells die. Even hair cells die. But fat cells must have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because they seem to have eternal life. Look, let me tell you something. I kill my brain cells all the time because of all the alcohol that I drink. My skin cells, you know, they die, but I think I do a good job of moisturizing and trying to take care of my skin. Hair cells are gone, right? I don't have no hair on the top of my head. I mean, I do have hair. I'm not completely bald. It's just that I got some spots and it's just like they're thin. And so I chose to not be one of those people trying to hold on to hair. I just let it go. And luckily I have a nice shaped head and I don't look bad bald, but these fat cells, they did accept Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, because they don't die. I will tell you that I'm in the process of leaning out. I gained weight. I got sick sometime in May or June. If y'all were watching the shows and the videos, y'all would, or audio, y'all would have noticed that I was sick a lot. So I got sick. And because I got sick, I really couldn't work out. So I put on more weight than I have had in like 6 years. And I'm in the process now of cutting it down. And I'm a trainer. I train people how to lose weight. I know what to do to lose weight. It's never really been difficult for me. I normally decide to do it and I lose it. At this big age of 43, going up, getting close to 44, I knew just because of how aging and the body works that it was going to be harder. I did not realize it was going to be this hard. And it is a lot harder now trying to cut down this weight at 43 than when I did it last time at 38. And these fat cells, my fat cells personally, are in the church, not just on Sunday all day long. They're in the church every day because they're not dying. And the Lord is looking out for them. And I need the Lord not to look out for these fat cells so much. All right, on to the next one. Did you ever just flex your foot wrong and it cramps? And you're just like, this is it. This is how it all ends. This is more about aging. This is more about aging, y'all. There have been times when I'm in the bed and I just flex my foot and you get one of those like cramps or Charlie horses. And it's like, this pain is so unbearable. And I have a high threshold of pain. This pain is so unbearable. This is how it's going to end. This is how I'm going to die. Another time my foot cramped up on me, I was in the shower. I don't even know what I did. I was just in there taking a shower and then my foot cramped up. And for some strange reason, recently, the bottom of my shower, I don't know if it's different soaps or moisturizers or whatever that I'm using, is real slippery. So all I could think about was my foot is cramping up. I'm going to slip, hit my head somewhere, knock myself out and die. And they're going to find me because they're going to find me days later because I live by myself. They're going to find me butt naked, the shower still running, ass in the air, dead because my foot cramped up in the shower. That's a fear. That's a realistic fear of mine. And I tell you just today, I know somebody that broke their foot getting off of the metro, not stepping down any stairs. They legitimately fractured their foot getting off of the metro. The metro is our subway, the Washington, D.C. area subway. Getting off of the subway car. It's a platform. They're not stepping up or stepping down or anything. They just took a step forward and fractured their foot. Age is a mother. That's all I can say. Age is a mother. All right. The next one. One of the weirdest things about being an adult is having a favorite stovetop burner. No one ever talks about it, but y'all know it's true. Now, I have a favorite stovetop burner. It is the closest one to the right side of me. So they're stacks in two, right? There's two in the front and two in the back. That front right, that's the main burner. Now, I was talking to a friend and I realized that might be because they said the same thing. And I said, that might be because we're right-handed. So if you're right-handed, I bet it's the front right. If you're left-handed, I bet it's the left front. But regardless, it's in the front and whichever hand is most dominated. And we don't ever talk about it. Hell, you probably didn't even know that that was a thing of yours until I just brought it up. But think about it. You do typically use one main burner and it's typically the front and whichever hand that you're most dominated on. Because I would assume left-handed people are not using that front right burner because I don't ever use my front left burner. I'll use my left back burner before I use the front burner, but that's just me. But think about it. Think about it. Next time you put something on the stove, which burner are you using? All right, here's the final one. When I die, I give everyone permission to use my death for personal gain. Even if you barely knew me, when I kick it, even if we were hardly ever talked, you go and tell your boss a good friend died and take a day off for you. That's on me. And I feel that. Look, I approve anybody out there. You could just be listening to the show. You could be just not even a person that listens to every show. You just catch the show when you can. And maybe you just know me as passing. Maybe I only said hello to you on the bus. I don't really ride the bus, but maybe I only said hello to you in on the street as you were walking the dog. But when I die, you have my permission to use that as an excuse to do whatever the hell that you want. Go enjoy your day because I can't enjoy no more days. You go enjoy your day on me. That'll make me feel good as I'm up there, hopefully in heaven, looking down and saying, that's right, you're going to enjoy your day. That's on me. So I found that funny. Hey, some of these are hit or miss. I find them funny. So most of the time, they're funny, but sometimes they're not. All right, everybody. That's it for today's episode. Like I said, we're going to be getting back into the interviews starting next week. I don't know which one I'm going to air next week. I got to go through and plan them. But trust me, I'm really excited of where the show has started this year. We've had some really great interviews to begin with. I've got some really great interviews that I've done that are going to be releasing throughout this year. I'm making an appearance on a podcast soon that will be posting. I'll give you guys that information so you could go check out another one where I'm featured on somebody else's podcast. I think I'll have an interview in a magazine coming out soon. I think these things are always kind of complicated. It's like when you're on a television show or a movie and you got just a little scene and then you find out that they edited you out and you told everybody that you was going to be in the show or the movie and you're not, it could have been one of them situations. So I don't want to speak. I know for sure the podcast is coming out that I've been interviewed on. I don't know if the interview for the magazine, if I'm going to make the cut, but we'll see. And if I do, I'm going to give you guys all that information so that you could go read the magazine article. The show is growing. I'm enthusiastic about where we're going. I'm enthusiastic that as of right now, we have 5,000 subscribers on our YouTube page, and that we're getting over 1,000 downloads on our audio show. This is fantastic. Thank you so much for supporting us. Don't forget to join the Patreon page, because there's two shows a week here. There's also two shows a week on that Patreon page. It's $5 a month if you want to just listen to me and my sister. It's $5 a month if you want to listen to just me. It's $9 a month for both shows. Also, you can request stuff. We'll talk about different stuff on those shows that we won't talk about on the main show. A lot of it is dilly-dallying. So if you like a lot of dilly-dallying, you're going to enjoy those shows. So thank you, everybody out there, for supporting the show. I am humbled. I am grateful. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And until next time, as always, I'll holla. Whew, that was a hell of a show. Thank you for rocking with us here on Unsolicited Perspectives with Bruce Anthony. Now, before you go, don't forget to follow, subscribe, like, comment, and share our podcast wherever you're listening or watching it to it. Pass it along to your friends. If you enjoy it, that means the people that you rock with will enjoy it also. So share the wealth, share the knowledge, share the noise. And for all those people that say, well, I don't have a YouTube. If you have a Gmail account, you have a YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can actually watch our video podcast. But the real party is on our Patreon page, After Hours Uncensored and Talking Straight-ish. After Hours Uncensored is another show with my sister. And once again, the key word there is uncensored. Those are exclusively on our Patreon page. Jump onto our website at unsolicitedperspective.com for all things us. That's where you can get all of our audio, video, our blogs, and even buy our merch. And if you're really feeling genuine and want to help us out, you can donate on our donations page. Donations go strictly to improving our software and hardware so we can keep giving you guys good content that you can clearly listen to and that you can clearly see. So any donation would be appreciated. Most importantly, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for listening and watching and supporting us. And I'll catch you next time. Audi 5000. Peace.